Appreciate your grace, Lord. And it's your grace, Father, that will give us the power to give us all that we need to bring us to the place, O Lord, of perfection. We thank you, Lord, as your dynamic Father, your power move us in this life. And we know, Father, Lord, your word is true. And we rest upon the promise of your word. For it is the foundation, O Lord, in our life. Without it, Father, Lord, we'll be on sinking sand. So, Lord, bless us this morning as we approach thy word now. We have committed this, O Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, for your blessing. Amen. You may be seated. All right, dear God, continue where we on the same series. We have used Revelation chapter 3 and verse 11 for our text. Let no man take away the crown. Just want to refresh yourself? Well, I'm just going to read it. Revelation 3:11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, and let no man take thy crown. And also in Romans chapter 4 and verse 17-25. Romans chapter 4, verse 17-25. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believe in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And the next day, third text is 1 John 2, 15-17. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15-17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passed away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Remember, hold fast that which you have, the crown of life. Secondly, God called those things that were not as though they were, by the example of what Abraham had gone through. And the deadness of his body and also that of his wife, he considered it not, because God considered those things that were not as though they were, that God said that you will be a father of many nations. And Abraham, hope against hope, and he considered not the deadness of his body. He says, I'm going to be a father of many nations, and it shall be according to the word of God. And in this text, Abraham was caught out of Ur of Chaldees from the Mesopotamia across the river Euphrates. Oh, went all the way down to the land that God told him that he will go. And that every step that he takes, the land belongs to him. And so Abraham left his worldly family. Mesopotamia was a very well developed a nation or kingdom by then already. But there was a kingdom of paganism, worldly pleasure. And so Abraham left that place and crossed over to the land where God promised would be his. And that's why he was called Hebrew. So who was the first man to be called Hebrew? There was no one that's called Hebrew. Everybody is over there who crossed over are called Hebrew. So the word Hebrew means when one who's crossed over. And so you and me, we are Hebrew. Not because we are circumcised in our foreskin, because we don't. We are not. We are Hebrew because we crossed over from the worldly side to the side that God had promised us. The land that is abundant in milk and honey. A land where God says, this will be your land. And our promised land is the promised word of God. We have crossed over out of the worldly, of this world, and all this worldly pleasure and sins and all these things that bought down a person's life. Crossed over into the word of God and into the word of promise. So that which God has given us, the assurance, the promise, the crown of life, and we know that what is there, what is going to change us like Abraham. God called those things that were not as though they were already exist. You're going to believe that. You have to believe that God said he's going to have your body changed. And I believe he, since he said that, and he considered those things that not yet exist as though they were, it already exist. And if it's good enough for God to say that it is real, I believe, therefore, I will be changed to have a new body. So, what manner of man or woman are we then? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. As it is said here, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eye, they are against God. Especially right now when we see the condition of the world today. When we see the condition of the world today, there's so much of this entertainment, the pleasure that it, wow, things that it can give to man. Are we tied on to that? Can we find peace and solace and strength and power to be alone with God? Just in His word. Maybe many of us find it hard. But here is why we have the mystery of His purpose that we are studying. What God is doing in our life. And all we have to do is to hear. So as I said, that faith in this generation is more needed than in any generation of ages before us. For in the days of Luther, all they have to believe is the just shall live by faith. Come out of that Roman Catholicism. Come right into the faith of just believing that if you repent and accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you are justified. You don't have to go through the penance. You don't have to confess your sin to the priest. You don't have to go through all this mess. All you have to do is believe. Simple. Then came John Wesley. Well, he taught that it was alright just to believe in Jesus, you know, because God is always moving. So when it came to another age, later after Luther, and John Wesley was the one called to do the ministry. But before he was called, he thought, well, he was okay. He tried to go to America from England, go to America, went to America and tried to convert the Indians. And when America, he sees it. In America, he sees Christian people, the miners, they go work on a hot day. After a hot day of work, they start drinking beer, liquor, and get themselves drunk. And they start smoking cigarettes and whatever. And they say, I'm a Christian. And John Wesley thought, was okay, you know, he tried to convert the Indians. He couldn't convert them. And then he realized something on his way back to England. He met a group of Christians on the ship, and they are from Moravian Christian, and heard the message preached by the preacher in the book of Romans. Then he realized that he wasn't even converted. That's right. He realized that God wants sanctification, not just that I believe in Jesus, I have eternal life. A lot of self-deception in churches today among Christian people. I believe in Jesus, I confess Jesus as my Savior. And they go about doing what they think that they can do. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. They think that is alright. That is not alright. We are moving from stage 1, 2, 3, 4, and go on. We are going from A all the way through all the alphabet to the last alphabet Z. God wants us to go on. As Paul said, let us go on to perfection. That's right. We move on from glory to glory. We have to go on. You understand? Now the caterpillar, if it doesn't eat and eat and eat, he has no time for pleasure, but except to build himself and to change. He knew that he would. And you know what? The caterpillar is not a dumb little insect. They had the instincts built in them. That they have a knowledge. That they are not the ugly little, I don't know how many legs that they have and suckles, you know. Maybe some of them have a spiny little back. But they know that they have to eat, because one day they know they're going to change into a beautiful butterfly. So their time had to do is to spend time eating the wood of the leaf that which they were born on. And from the caterpillar it transformed. Every day, when you eat, every certain time, it will mold to a bigger caterpillar. It will shed its skin. You all know that? It doesn't from the caterpillar turn into a chrysalis. Or the pupa, as it's called. It shaped first as a tiny little one, it becomes bigger caterpillar, you have to shed all that outer covering, metamorphose. You have to cast off that and get bigger and bigger until when you get certain size, it will change into a chrysalis. It will spin around itself. And there it rests for its body to do its job. And that's the wonder of it all. Through that little creature, God is teaching us what God is doing to us in this life. Alright, go to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Well, in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the principles of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us even when we were dead in sin, have quickened us together with Christ. By faith you are saved, and have raised us up together and make us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul said we were once like people of the world, sensual, carnal, right? But now we are believers. So how do we walk then? Do we continue to walk as a sensual man, as a carnal man, as a flesh man, having the desire that to satisfy the five senses? Now, it is not a sin just because you love to eat. But don't be a glutton. Don't be a glutton. It doesn't mean that, you know, we cannot have a little enjoyment of what the world can offer us. But watch a movie. Huh? Or go to a play. A drama. Or go to a concert, a symphony. It doesn't mean that we can't. The thing is that, as the Bible said, all things are lawful, but not all things edify. And in everything, let it be moderate. Because excessiveness is gluttony. And gluttony has the power, the spirit of gluttony has the power to hold you. You know. And so how do we keep this man that we are, or woman that we are as a Christian? How do we keep ourselves in the faith? It's all due to the Word. God is the only one that by His grace is molding you. God is working in our life. Like the song, He's still working. Huh? He's still working on us. He's working in each and every one of us. He's still working on me and you. And when He's working on us, we have to respond. And that is how God dealt with Abraham. Now, God promised Abraham that he will be a father of many nations. And yet he was 75 years old, and yet he waited for almost 24 years before God came again and spoke the word to have his body changed. Now all those time of 24 years as Abraham walked before God, it seems that nothing is happening. 24 years is a long time. Tried to have his wife Sarah conceive. And he had been walking around and talking to his servants, his household, that is to say, all his servants. Those who look after his sheep, goats, camels. And everybody in the household knew what Abraham had confessed. And I feel that especially the one that closest to Abraham is the one that doubt the most. And that is his wife, Sarah. Because Abraham came home one day and told the wife, God told me I'm going to be a father. And Sarah said, that's good. You know, Sarah was a pagan. I don't know how many idols she had in her own cupboard. A little box. They normally have this, you know, box that they carry around with them when they move from place to place. A treasure chest box. 1 year later, 2 years later, Sarah says, nothing happened to my tummy. I'm still the same size. It didn't get rotted up. No sign that I'm pregnant. What's the name of your God, my good husband? They told you that you're going to be a father. And I'm approaching a desert. Soon, I'm approaching to be a dry land. And all that which is in me is going to dry up. Abraham said, his name is Yahweh. I am that I am. You know. Well, if he said so, then why am I not getting pregnant? Another year passed, 2 years passed. Wow. Down to 12 years later. Huh? What happened? Sarah couldn't wait. She says, well, you know, almost dried up now. Let's go to Hagar and take her for a concubine. Maybe that's what your Yahweh was trying to tell you. Because you see, I'm an old woman and you are an old man. Yeah, you still have the seed, but I don't have the egg anymore. It's drying out. But Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. He believed. But you know, Sarah will naked him. Naked him because Sarah wants to carry a baby. Want to nurse a baby. Want to cuddle a baby. Want to give Abraham an inheritance of a boy, of a male child. You know, that's the custom of the East. The importance of having a son. That's the reason why in China we have this problem. Too many male and a lot of women who was pregnant with a child and found it was a girl, they killed them. Many of them actually killed. So China had has a population of more male than female. And what do? They go over to Vietnam to marry the Vietnamese and go over to other countries to go and marry other women of other nationality, or even they have to kidnap some trafficker to kidnap those from Vietnam and bring them over to China. These are happening every day. But Abraham says no. But anyway, Abraham gave in to her and the child Ishmael was born. But Abraham still staggered not at the promise of God. When Hagar completely dried up. Now that's when God was testing Abraham's faith. Ishmael was born. Continue another plus 10 years more or so. Huh? 14, 15 years, 16 years, 17 years, 18 years, 20 years. And Abraham was approaching 95, 96. His wife, 85, 86. All look dried up, wrinkled up, white hair perhaps. And I wonder the household, the servant might be giggling. And they might be talking about it. The woman will be in the kitchen cooking or feeding the sheep or whatever they are doing. Pounding the paddy for making chapati or leaven bread, whatever they are doing. And probably they're talking, you know, people talk. And the men at home, they're looking after the sheep and the cattle, they talk. People will be talking. Out there in the world, the people are talking about us, this crazy group of people. Do you know what people talk about us? Sure. And in general, of course, the people who are not Christian think that the Christians are also crazy. They believe they're all going to float them in the air, probably after watching the movie Left Behind. And those in denomination think we are crazy because we've got to stick strictly to the Word of God. Say what the Word of God say. Deviate not to the left, nor to the right. They say we are all too legalistic. But I want to say this, we are being realistic. because God is real. God said so. He has to be real, and we have to take it at face value. And we cannot do it just because now it's okay, now it's okay. Why? Are you baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? Ah, not necessarily. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost would do. And how were you baptized? By sprinkling. But the Bible said it's immersion. Oh, come on, don't make it so difficult that I'm going to get wet. And the pastor don't want to get wet. Do you think I want to get wet? If every Sunday, one by one, every one of you go every Sunday, I have to go with you and go to church every time. Instead of a whole group of you at one time. Because one time you are wet in the water, 10 person go in at the same time, fine. But if I have to go and get myself wet every 10 times, every Sunday, each time I mean, what a problem. So why don't you make it easier? All we have here is a basin of water. Just put head over it and the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. There you are done. That's how people, how preacher, theologian make things easier for themselves. Do you understand what I'm saying? God is in His Word. When He said it, He got to make sure it is manifest the way He said it. He's not going to give you, Lee Woods. Oh, that's okay, you can do it this way. No. You see, if there is anything that is leeward that God will allow, He said, if you go to a place that is a desert and there is no water, you want to baptize somebody, go into the mud. And there's something that He can cover you by immersion. Don't take some mud and just sprinkle on his head. Immersion means, baptism means immersion. Go in, deep in. Bury. 96, 97, Abraham was approaching almost 100. It's getting old now. And Sarah's trying to. Abraham second on the unbelief. He believed. God was testing him for 24 years. 24 years. Mm-hmm. What about your faith? When you start your faith, when you start in this journey that God has called you into, how do you walk before God? Don't you know what? I believe there's so much different in the life of many of these characters in the Bible that God specifically singled out and make mention of it. The Bible said Enoch walked with God, and he was not. God took him. But why did God take him? Of all the patriarchs, pre-patriarchs, what about Enoch's father, grandfather? What about those of them? Did they not walk with God? What is it so special about Enoch? What is it so special about Abraham that God had to choose this man? That God chose him out of I don't know how many million of people out there in Mesopotamia. That he would choose this man called Abraham. And dealt with him and changed his name to Abraham, the father of many nations. Out of the million of people in this world, what's so special about you? What is so special about you? It's the way, the reason why Enoch was taken up, I believe it on my heart, is the way he walked with God. Every of those patriarchs, they walk with God, but not the way Enoch walked with God. In this generation, Christians all over the world, they say, yeah, I believe in God, I'm walking with God, but how do they walk with God? And how are you walking with God? You walk with God according to your own fancy? As when you like? Or you walk with God strictly and say, Lord, I need your help. I'm a lazy bum. I'm not reading even your Bible. I'm not even going to church. I don't even want to pray. You know, God has a way of dealing with us. Abraham, how can he change his body to bring forth a child? And I believe that Abraham was not foolish. And I believe people know that in order for you to have a child, your wife's body must be strong. There must be egg in it. Is that right? A 60-year-old woman cannot carry a child today. For that matter, 50 years old is a problem. Even after you pass 30, the people always think about getting worried. That's why modern science come up with something to help. But once you pass 40, that's more difficult. Abraham is not stupid. He wasn't stupid. He knows that the body that God must be doing, they have to do something to his body, something to his wife's body, so that the wife can carry a baby. Try to get a woman 55 years old pregnant today, see how would she carry the baby? Even if she can conceive, they would have a hard time. Because why? Hormones gone. The baby, the fetus might survive for a week or two, and it's gonna go. So what was Abraham's faith like? You just think, God promised it to him. And so, you see, God has to do something. God has to change the body to meet the need. And that's God's work. You understand? All you have to do, you see, Sarah has nothing to do with the faith that Abraham had in God. Because the promise was to Abraham, not to Sarah. God did not call Sarah, God called Abraham. And so how important it is to hate the man over the wife. God is always calling for the man. And the man, where are thou? He didn't look for Eve. God knew Eve was the one who caused the fall. But he wasn't looking for Eve. Right? God didn't call Sarah, call Abraham. It's all about the man's faith. But today, here you are. You are a child of God. You are all individual. God is dealing with you. God is dealing with you. As individual. So how is this body going to change? God will meet the need. But in order to meet the need, he has to shape you. That's not what Paul here said. We have all our bad conversation of this life. Bad, you know, lifestyle that we live. Conversation means the way you live your life. A conversation. You know what a conversation is? It speaks loudly. Your life was a conversation. A bad conversation in the past. But God called you now to the faith. So what now? The Bible says God is rich in mercy. Verse 4. He is rich in mercy for his great love towards us when he loved us. And I believe that is so. Grace and mercy always goes together. Huh? Do you understand? They go hand in hand. And he said in verse 5, we were dead in sin, have quickened us together. That's what is important, the quickening. Now, Paul said in Hebrew, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That which you can see, they are temporary. They are passed away. Those that which you cannot see, they are eternal. Right? Now we have the faith of things that we have not seen. Isn't it so? We know we are promised a crown of life, sinning with Christ, our body is going to change. We are not seeing it, we are not seeing it with our eyes. You're talking about eternal life. People say, are you sure you have eternal life? These are things that are not seen, but the evidence is there. Not only what the whole universe showed about the living God, but the living God that wrote this Bible have evidence in the Bible of history, of men and women who have walked with Him before us. And they testify of those truths, of the fact. So here, quicken us. If you're not quickened, you won't be here today. And that quickening is not your physical body. That quickening is your spirit. Make you to be born again, to realize and open your eyes to the truth that there is Yahweh. And Yahweh is calling you just like He called Abraham. You know. And God gets very personal. As I said, God is a personal God. That's why when He came to Abraham in the garden, not because He didn't know where Adam. Not because He didn't know Adam, where Adam was hiding. He knew where Adam was hiding. He knew what Adam had done. Do you understand that? But nevertheless, He came. And He called out to Adam. He called to Adam, Adam, where are you? And you know, Adam had to answer. Because God wanted an answer. God gets personal. When He called Abraham, He was personal with Abraham. He wanted to have that relationship. And that relationship is to be able to communicate with you and you with Him. That's why many times we don't communicate with God. And when God communicates with us, how does He communicate with us? How does He communicate with us? One of the ways, the most important way of He communicates with us is through the preaching of the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. People think, oh, it's okay, I don't have to go to church. I can go once in a year, once in a month, and I'll be fine. You better have a good excuse. You know. Just like a brother who has been here for a long time. Well, not been here for a long time now. Send me a text, Brother Dan. I'm sick, pray for me. My wife is sick, pray for me. And he has not been to church for a long time. But when he is in need, he said, Brother, pray for us. That's the problem with human character, and that's the character that God wanted to squash from you. We don't need Him when we are fine and dandy. But when we are down in the slum or in the valley or the miry clay, oh Lord, help us! God is like a mechanical robot. An answering machine to many of us Christians. And that shouldn't be. You know. Even with Sarah's reasoning, Abraham did not stagger in unbelief of what God said. He kept on telling him, no, it's for you. But he had to let his wife have her way just for her to be satisfied. Go to the concubine, the servant, Hagar. You know. But he knew that Ishmael was not the promised one. He still believed. And when God found his faith, real. That's why God is working with us. How real is your faith? How your real is your faith. And the Bible said, you are an epistle to be read by all men. How do you walk with God?
As God always told his servants, another prophet even, walk before me, Abraham. Walk before me. Right? Walk before me. Enoch, walk with God. It's not the way we just simply take God for granted. I think that's one of the problems in this world today. That's also why we have Christians who can be a Christian for 20 years and 30 years, and after that they go and be converted to Muslim or to another religion, or say they give up the faith. Wow, that's strange. For a man to walk 20, 30 years, go to church, and then suddenly give it up. Why? All those years, it wasn't real. And some, as a lot of people testify, it was just emotional. Yeah. Yeah, you can see that on YouTube. Why? I'm not a Christian. Why I was converted to Muslim or to another religion. Why? They're giving you a testimony. You know. It, why they convert is, oh, but that religion was, yeah, it's emotional. You know how the preacher preach and they bring people up, stirring up the emotion, make them feel bad and then make them feel good. Right? You know, Paul, when he stood before Agrippa, when he was being judged by him, he preached so hard. Agrippa said, you almost convert me. Thou almost convert me. Thou almost persuade me to be a Christian. Right? He knows. When you preach what the truth is, you know. No, you do not know. Even for those that there is no God, only the fool said that there is no God. If you tell me there is no God, I said, the fool said there is no God. You are pricked to the heart and say, you're calling me a fool. I said, no, God called you a fool. And the person will say, I will have you know that I'm not a fool. If there is a God, show me. And I'll believe. You see, that's a fool. God is not someone that you can pull the string as you like. You know what I'm talking about? In those days in a hotel, great hotel, they don't have a bell, they just don't have a telephone, they put ding dong, the sound goes to the kitchen or go to the front desk, you know. You just pull for your butler, so to speak. But God is dealing with us all. And he continued to say, and have raised us up together, sit together in heavenly places, and you are right here sitting in heavenly places. You're sitting in heavenly places. You all know that, don't you? Because if you are born again, you have the Spirit of Christ. You are sitting in heavenly places right now, understanding and learning about God and comprehend God the more. You know. How many of you have seen God? Come on. How many of you have seen God? No? You have not seen God? When you see the Bible, Jesus says, you see me, you see the Father. And Jesus Christ is the Word. So when you say, have you seen God? Means, have you understood about God? See? How many of you have understood the Godhead? Do you understand the Godhead? Yes. So you see what a Godhead is. The preacher was in the website, was teaching something which scares me. Maybe I should discuss with you one day on Friday. One of the sermons entitled, Christ is added to the Godhead. So kind of strange title. Christ is added to the Godhead. So when I read that and I found that Christ, he was trying to talk about the Christ, and that you are the body of Christ. And so we are the Christ, and we are added to the Godhead. Now, you know, that kind of teaching is just full of try to make man think that he has a higher revelation. We are not added to the Godhead. The Godhead is always there. And there is only one God who revealed himself in the Son. Godhead means Godhood. Godhood means how the Godhead shows himself in what we call that progressively. You understand? So God has this, God revealing himself in Christ, and Christ died for us, and we know that we are part of Christ because we are his body and he is the head. Just because we are his body and he is the head doesn't mean that we are added to the Godhead. It makes it sound terrible. We can say we are the body of Christ and we are a family of God. Because why? We are worshipping God the Father. Nobody worships us. We are worshipping Christ right now. Right? And one day Jesus can give all the authority back to the Father. And all things will be in God. He will be all in all. And Christ will take the position always that he will be as the firstborn. That's why he said, to Mary Magdalene, don't touch me. That which we share on Friday. I have to go to my Father and my God. To your Father and your God. So does Jesus have a God that he worships? Yes. Now he's sitting on the right hand of power in that throne. The full unbodied Godhead. That's why you can worship him. And he is to receive worship. And he said, no man come unto the Father but by me. The Father and the Son, they are one. You understand? So because we are in the future, we worship God. How can men say that we are added to the Godhead? How can anybody say that? You understand what I'm saying? In a family, if I'm the father, I'm the head of the house, my children, they are added to me as a family. Do you understand? Correct? But suddenly they are not equal with me. That's why my brother Bram, he was careful to say that Christ is the Messiah and we are little Messiah. Right? That's why the Bible says you are gods. But not God as God is. You get what I'm saying? Right? Yes. Just because God gave you the Spirit and you are children of God, make you gods, of course, if you want to use that term, but suddenly you are not equal with the Father. Neither was Jesus equal to the Father. Or else you will not have to worship the Father. That's facts. Now you are sitting in how many places? Now God is moving you, shaping you. Let's continue. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us to Christ Jesus. You know, Paul was talking about this to the Ephesians. Majority of them are Gentiles. You know. And of course there were converted Jews there. So Paul is talking about as a unit of believer. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. You have nothing to do with salvation. Do you hear what the Bible said? By grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So you want to be saved by doing penance? Like what you see in the Philippines every Holy Week, which is coming next month. People are just whipping themselves to the cross. I think one of the most paganist countries in the world that I know of.
because that is the Philippines. Do you know when people worship that? You know, in Catholicism, do you know that? And the Bible says it's true. It is one of the highest forms of spiritism. You see that in Nicaragua. That's right. Puerto Rico, Haiti. And in Haiti, they mix Catholicism with Buddhism. You'll be surprised. Many religions are so mixed. That's why even in Singapore here, in the Asian part of the world, you have people who call themselves Buddhists, and they have Buddhism, but they mix with Taoism and Confucianism. They mix together, right? They choose what they want to put it together. Do you see? And in some part of the world, I can't remember which part of the world it was now, I forgot. I wonder if it was in India, I can't remember. It seemed to be India. That was a place where people gathered together. And they worshipped a stalactite. You know what a stalactite is? You find it in a cave, where the water starts dripping down. And then it forms into all these pillars coming down, and water hits up going out of a stalagmite. And people worship a stalactite. You know? And they even garland that stalactite. You know, like dress it up like, oh. No wonder the Bible said God, Paul said people worship, instead of the Creator, they worship the creature. Whether it's an animal or what even thing that was shaped by nature. You understand? Now if God didn't call us, and I don't know where you will be, what you will worship. What would be your philosophy? What would be your religion? Huh? Isn't it? So, it is by grace you are saved through faith. And then now you're saying it is a revelation. Faith is given to you. By God's grace, God gives you the faith to see and understand. Because faith is a revelation. Faith is a trust. You trust in something which God showed you. It's nothing to do with you. It was given to you to see. And when you see, what do? You react. You respond. And say, yes, I believe. Same thing with Thomas. Thomas walked with Christ for 3.5 years and saw the miracles and all this. Yet he could not believe that Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead. He said, until I put my finger into the wound, I would not believe. When Jesus entered that room, closed door, closed window, Christ came right in. How did he come right in? And everybody thought it was a ghost. So now I'm not. Give me something to eat, something to drink. And then he says, Thomas, come. Feel my wound. I guess Thomas got a curious. Put a finger right through the hole. Perhaps going to the other side. You know what I'm saying? Probably going to put all of it because it's a scar. Maybe trying to dig it in. I don't know. Let me see a wound on the side here. And Jesus had to lift it up. Thomas probably be trying to figure out how real it is. And because of that, what Thomas did, when he said, Thomas said, "Now I believe, Lord." And what happened to him? He had an appointment with God, and God told him to go to India. Now you believe? Your faith is strong? You're willing to die for me? He didn't hesitate to die for Christ. He went to India. And he was pierced to death in Madras. You understand that? Until God reveal himself to you in any form that he wants to reveal himself. But the most important thing that Jesus said, blessed are you because you see and believe. But blessed are those who have not see and believe. You understand?
The disciples saw Christ resurrected, talked with them for 40 days.
Was with them for 40 days. Eat with them in the shore of Galilee. Walk with them. Eat with them.
But here, we never saw him in person. Except to the eyes of faith in his will. You understand?
Blessed are those who have not seen and believe.
But you know what? I actually saw Christ. I've seen him in his word. I'm not talking about visions of him. I'm talking about the word itself. The reality of this word.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus.
As I said this, we're not doing work for God. You're not doing a work for yourself. You're not trying to better your life as a Christian. You're not trying to be a better Christian by your own effort. You can't. Try to do it. You'll fail. You understand? Yeah.
People's idea of what God wants me to do, God wants me to do. As disciples ask him in the book of John, what must we do to do the work of God? What must we do? Perhaps the City Harvest Church.
They think that, well, this is the way that we should go about trying to win more souls for Christ.
So they have the idea of trying to have a program, invest in this song, a pop song to stir up the young people. You know what? That's not a bad idea.
People trying to reach out to the youngsters by having someone in the church, a pop star, a pop singer, attract them to the church.
Wow, that church has a beautiful pop singer. He sings or he sings every Sunday.
Well, let me tell you something here. If you invite Cliff Richard, you know who Cliff Richard is? Some of you may not know who Cliff Richard is.
If you invite Cliff Richard to come to Singapore and sing, or in a church, if you have a church, you have a church, let's say you have a church of 1,000, 2,000 people, and you have that money, invite Cliff Richard to come every Sunday to your church, and I can tell you, your church will be full up. You have no place for them to sit. You probably have to hire the National Stadium.
Right?
And who will go? Sure, the young people will go. Even the old one who knew Cliff Richard will go.
What did they go there for?
To go there to hear him sing, or to go there to go here to hear a preacher preach the gospel? You know, that's the kind of thing people do. But God is working a work in your life and my life, not the way that we think that God wants us to do. God simply said, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandment. If you love me, keep my word.
Have you read the book of Watchman Nee? Sit, walk, and stand. A simple, thin little book about Christian living. How we should be as a Christian. Sit, walk, and stand. Just simple, like what we normally do. Breathe. Exercise. Work.
Basic thing that we do every day. He was illustration. Sit, walk, and stand. Can we stand up for God? Can we walk with God?
And sit down to listen even to the word.
A daily life thing as a Christian. Just example.
Fire hot. But God is working. No matter how stubborn we may be, God is dealing with us. To come to that place. Because why? We are His workmanship. So what about Abraham now? You see? Coming to the age that he's old. Gonna dry up now. No hope, no hope. He seems no hope. Huh? Abraham never even stopped to unbelief. No. He never stopped believing. Because he's going to do it after all. He said it. And I believe it. So does it. Finally, with all the 24 years of walking in the faith, God said, okay, now let me go down to talk to my good friend. You know, that's what God called Abraham, a friend. Do you know that? Do you know that a friend is closer than a brother? How many of you know that? Yes. A friend indeed is a friend indeed. It's closer than a brother. Jesus said to the disciple, I no longer call you my servant. I call you my friend. Because why? To a servant, a master will not reveal secret. To a friend, yes. Abraham was God's friend. That's why Abraham got to talk to God. Where are you going, Lord? God said, I'm going down to Sodom and Gomorrah. What are you going to do there? I'm going to destroy the place. What? What if there is 100, 50, and 70, and down to 10? You know how you bargain with God? I mean, that's a friend. God is not angry with you when you talk to Him, you know. You can bargain with Him, you can argue with Him. But see who is the winner. God told Abraham, yeah, okay, bargain me, okay, if you did, there's 20, oh, I will not. If 10, I will not. You see. And Abraham knew that they are going to just be a handful. He knew that his nephew is down there. Lord, his wife and two daughters. Who else were there? Huh? He will not tell the Lord, what if there's one? Would you destroy the rest? You see. And then God told Abraham, alright, you know what? This time next year, in the season of life, you will have a child. Abraham says, sit down there. And he smiled to himself. I know that, Lord. I know that. Because you said that, I know you're going to do it. Even before I die, you must do it. Obviously, right? Sure. But Sarah was just giggling away. If God promised it, no matter what, Abraham reassured her that he would not die. Because the promise must be manifest. Or else God will be a liar. And that's when Sarah woke up. Whoops. How did he know that? I did not laugh. Oh, you did, Sarah. You know, for the sake of Abraham, God did not take give Sarah a slap in the face or something like that. You know. Because after all, when God called a man, and he will do whatever the Lord wants him to do, and hold to that faith, that other part of his life, his wife, plays a part. Believe or not believe, plays a part. And it's sometimes very painful. So what happened? Sarah began to realize how true it is. And the next morning when she woke up, something changes now. You know, the whole thing changed because you know what? The body has to be prepared quickly, huh? To conceive, to hold, for the egg to come and be able to conceive. Because Abraham was already 99 years old. Sometime when God says, in the season of life next year, you will have a child. And a child is born within 9 months. So in the first 3 months, something must have already happened. Huh? Each day when he got up, Abraham looked at his hair, I got one more black hair now. More hairs are growing, you know. And wrinkles are starting to disappear. Huh? And Sarah, maybe she walks a bit like this. Morning, wake up. Hey, I can walk better now. You know, everything is different and she looks more radiant, more beautiful. Is that right? That's the reason why people find it hard to understand that concept. How would a Pharaoh want to marry a woman who's 90 years old, who's coming to 90 years old? Tell me. Why would Abimelech also want to marry a woman who is coming to 90 years old? She's not 90 years old as 90 years old should be. One of these days, Barakati, you will not be as what you are. We are all going to change. And this is a reality. Huh? That's what we're looking for. You know? Because this body is just a temporary body. You know, people talk about the soul. Let me ask you this question now. Are you a soul in a body, or are you a body with a soul? Are you a soul with a body, or are you a body with a soul? Huh? Even though you don't know, you've got to go back to Genesis to find out. But that's what God created man in the beginning. A spirit. Put the spirit in the body and man became a living soul. God has given man a purpose. You are the living soul with the purpose to fulfill what God intends for you to manifest in this physical body. He didn't make you a body with a soul. He made you a soul and put you in a body. You understand? That's what the Bible said, the soul of sin and it shall die. It's not referring to the body of dust. As those social believers said, they teaches them. That's not what the Bible teaches. Because the animal, they're also living soul. As according to the Bible, they also have a living soul. Because every living being that breathed through the nostril, in Hebrew, nefesh, it means the soul, the breath of life. Then why did the animal die? Since you did not sin. The Bible is not talking about the body. It's talking about that living soul that God created man in. The man is different from the creation of the animal. Animal was not created spirit first and then put into body. Animal was created directly from the dust of the ground. And God put a soul in them. A horse soul in the horse. A cow soul in the cow. But we are all created a living soul. And then we went into a body. We are a living soul with a body. Not a body with a soul. So we have to manifest what God wants us to manifest. So as long as Abraham believed, God has to meet the need. Do you understand? To fulfill His word. He has to change the body. God has to change the body of Abraham and Sarah to meet his need. To meet their need as well. God says so, God must carry it out. He said, why cannot God put a fetus, a fertilized egg into Sarah? Even though Sarah was old. Why can't? You see what? Because there's a principle in this whole universe. Right? God doesn't contradict that principle. You see? God created gravity for a certain purpose. Isn't it so?
Right.
The plant must have sunlight for photosynthesis. Without sunlight, what happened to the plant? Those are principles.
A seed cannot grow by itself
if you leave it in the box or on a table.
It needs water, sunlight,
and nutrients of the earth. Basic.
So God does not make allowance.
No, He doesn't make allowance. He will fulfill His need,
or that which He promised.
He will have to do things according to what He promised. What will be the principles of the way He works?
No, we are approaching. Yeah, the world is in a bad shape right now. It's getting bad. It's kind of hard for people to comprehend. When you tell them the world, the condition of the world today is, it's a condition to show the coming of Jesus Christ, and you know, then people say, well, you mean you rejoice when there is earthquake and people die? You rejoice when there is all these suicide bombers killing people? You rejoice? And you people talk about Jesus coming, and you don't care about all this death? Now, that's the way they will talk.
But these are alarming signs that the people don't understand.
Do you think that we want people to suffer?
No.
The suffering was the cause because of the sins of mankind.
That's right.
So God is not going to make allowance for this world to stop earthquake, to stop tsunami, to go ahead and wipe out the ISIS.
No, it's not doing that.
God just let things be. Because He has to manifest what was already spoken in the Bible, the wickedness of man. And then come to a place, then God will stop it. According to His will, according to His purpose, according to His timing.
I mean, every one of us, you know, sometimes you read the news, the weather, when you read about what this extremist religious group going around killing people and bombing people to death. You know, recently what was the place they went? Was it Iman that three bombers just blow up themselves up? One was inside that bomb and then one was outside waiting for the rest to rush up. And he blew himself and killed the rest, and the other one, I don't know where he was.
I mean, when you read this, you feel like, I mean, they were killing their own kind in a way, but they are extremists killing the other Muslim. But you know, I was thinking, wow, if I am God, I will wipe them out. You know, sometimes we wish that if we have the power, we will wipe them out. And even sometimes you go down, you know, you see how today in Singapore, people, I mean, there's not many crimes, but doesn't mean that there's no crime, but there are crimes of people doing crazy things. And sometimes you see in the YouTube what the road rage, huh? Taxi driver and driver all have a, and then all the vulgarities you can see in the YouTuber. So terrible vulgarity. I was thinking, if I am God, I was giving him a slap in the face. You know, people, you know how you we humans feel, huh? That's terrible. You know, I know that God is not going to stop this. They will manifest the wickedness that is in them because they knew not God. And even if the God showed Himself to them in reality, they would not even believe. And it's true.
You know.
That's why Jesus talked about the parable. Huh? The rich man all day in the other side of torment. Or when sent somebody, you know, to tell my brethren. And they will know what I am, and that they will believe. You know, if you raise somebody from the dead and show them, they will not even believe. But one of these days, because we believe, the dead is going to rise, and we're going to see them. That's true. Because God has to testify to a resurrection, and I always believe that. That there must be a testimony of the resurrection, like what we see in the scripture. Who are you going to see? In the closing, let me say this. God is doing a work in us, and it is God's expression in us. God is expressing His life in us. That's the reason why we must be epistle read upon men. So if we are going to be an epistle that is not showing the life of Christ, something is really wrong. We better go onto our knees and repent and ask the Lord that we better be, that we, you know, to be a better epistle. A better piece of paper, a papyrus that God can write His life and express Himself in us. God expressed Himself in Christ. It is not true? Yes. And God knew it the way that He wanted it. You know, when He brought forth Jesus Christ into the world, now He knew that Jesus Christ will grow up to be what He would be, because God saw the future. But you know what Jesus Christ, when He grew up as a boy, He doesn't know everything. He doesn't even know what the future is. He doesn't know everything. You all know that, don't you? He doesn't know. That's why He has a chance. He has to learn. He has to grow in wisdom. To find favor with God and man. The book of Luke tells us very clearly. And the book of Luke, what is the book of Luke all about? What is the book of Luke? Matthew, what is Matthew? Matthew is the lion. Right? What is Luke? Luke, what is Mark? Mark is what? Mark is ox. Luke is man. And John is eagle. Humility. Now, Luke shows that he was a man. That's why Luke wrote about his life as a man. That he learned. He grew in knowledge and wisdom. So Jesus is growing up. He doesn't know what the future will be. So as each day as he grows, the more that he grows, he begins to understand things. You see? So when he was called to the ministry, now he realized already that he would be called to the ministry. And then he read the scripture, he knows that John the Baptist was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. As he studied, he knows, oh, this is written about me. This is about this servant. This is about what's going to happen. As he read, he understands. Do you understand that? You see? So, that's so when he knows he was into the ministry. But when he goes to the ministry, as he approaches the end, he became a very sort of in a state where his mind would become very much taken up by the last week or so of his death. He knows about what was foretold in the Bible concerning how he would die. And he knew all these things now. That's why he says, I need to go to Jerusalem. And Peter, no, Lord. You know they're going to kill you. Jesus knew that. When he go there, but he said, I must fulfill it. One step at a time. It's painful, one step at a time. That's why when he comes to the last part, when he was at the communion, oh my. He began to say things he had thought the disciple knew. He told Peter, if you don't want me to wash, you don't know, you know, you do not understand why I have to wash it. But you will understand it later. He expected the disciple to know what he was doing. But apparently the disciples don't know a lot of things. Too more than, of course, you don't expect a human to understand a lot of things. Even Jesus can begin to understand it only step by step, one day at a time. When he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, that's where he began to face the toughest part of his ministry. The end part. Nobody wants to die. Especially, as I said, when you have to face the darkness. So daunting. To face that darkness of sin coming upon him. To carry. To face
death in that way, to feel the pain.
That's why he prayed three times, not just once. He prayed three times.
Father, it's possible, remove that cup. God didn't have said nothing.
But this time now, Christ knew that he had to fulfill it. He cannot run away from his responsibility.
So it is God's expression in Christ. Now that Christ resurrected, we have Christ as our Savior and our Master. It is also now God in Christ in us expressing again himself. God, Jesus said, in that day you shall know that I am the Father in me, and I am in you, and you in me. Because God is still doing the same work that God did in Christ. He is doing the same work in us to express Christ, God himself. We are not here to express ourselves. Look how smart I am. Look how handsome I am. Look how beautiful I am. Look how clever I am. So what? And don't express foolishly like Benny Hinn. Here in his charismatic kung fu. No? These people are doing a work for God as they thought that this is God's work. That's right. Matthew 7 said so. Jesus said, in the last day many will come to me, Lord, Lord, I've done this, I've done that great work in your name. In your name I've cast a demon, I've performed many miracles, I have big program. Many came to Christ, came to you. Jesus said, yeah, you did, but I never knew you. Because it wasn't God expressing in them. Because that's not the way that God is expressing. When Jesus came, when he healed the sick, he didn't have all this drama. Ha! Ha! You know what I'm saying? You know, there's one movie that I saw about Jesus casting out the demon, I think, of the boy who was a lunatic that fell into the fire. You know, he was doing this, Jesus was chasing after the boy like this. I said, what? You know what I'm saying? All you have to do is stand up and speak the word. And he doesn't have to yell at the devil. All this drama. Even Brother Bram, look at the simplicity of Brother Bram. He doesn't have any drama. You know that, don't you? Even when that man was demon possessed, came up on the platform to want to hit him, he just stood there. The deacon was going forward to prevent the man from coming. Brother Bram says, stay. And the man just came, and Brother Bram just said the word, you dare to defy the servant of God. Nail. You know, it's so simple. It's what God has given to Brother Bram, demonstrating, expressing himself in the ministry, himself in the body of Christ. It's not all that show of singing, of pop songs and drawing all this program. That's not God. That's the mystery of his purpose, of God in you to, because you are his workmanship, he has to work it out. But he works it out the way he had always worked, in simplicity. And all you have to do is to believe and yield yourself for him to work in your life. Like a song we sing, do not struggle. It's by grace. Yield. The eagle, watch it fly. It doesn't have to struggle. It yield to the dynamic of the wind. Right? Yield. The wind comes, yield. And that's one thing about an eagle. They like to fly when there's a storm. When there's a challenge, they take a flight. Many times we are different. When there is a problem, we just lay back and sit down and sleep and do nothing. One of these days gonna put a ball of fire on the backside, and then you're gonna jump and you're gonna do something. So God expressed himself in Christ in the bride. And now we are all in Christ, so he's doing the same. It is God make to order. God is making to order. Make the order. That's the way God performed it. Huh? He already ordered the bride to be like this. He had ordered the Christ to be manifest that way so he could make it come to pass. And that is why he's shaping you. We are his, you know what? Christ, he's the preeminence of God. And now that Christ is in us, and we are in this world, we are his preeminence. Nothing else matter, huh? We are his preeminence as a people who is a part of the body of Christ. But the shift is going to shift over back to Israel very soon. So we got to hear it. May God bless you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for your word of life. I pray, Father, Lord, this word of discussion, Lord, looking at your word, how that you shape our life. We are your workmanship. We know you are not through with us. You are still working in us, Father. And as you did to Abraham, so you are doing to us. All we have to do, Father, is stagger not at the faith that you have given us. Holding fast to the crown of life, truly, Lord. And seeing that we are not part of this world, we are called and we have crossed over from the world of sin into the holy world of life. So, Father, we are thankful for that. Therefore, help us also to learn that we are not to love this world, neither the things that are in this world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life. These things must go. As you shape our life, Father, help us to yield. Help us to be always in tune, Lord, to your still small voice, speaking to us wherever we may be. And as from morning to night, may our walk with you be just like Enoch. May just be like Abraham. And be like all those great men and women of God who had walked before us and left their footprints on the sand of time. So Father, we are grateful, Lord, for all that which you have given us. Asking that you continue, Lord, to shape us, Lord. We commit all things to you now, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.